on Daf Pei Dalet Omen Aleph, before the wide lines, 1, 2, 3, 4, Rav Papa Mishmei de Rava Amar. Again, we're trying to answer the question, how do we know that Ayin Tachas Ayin is not to be taken literally? We don't take out the eye of the Chovel. Omar Kro, Rav Papa, the name of Rava, derives it from the Pasuk Virapo Yerape. And he learns from this, and we'll soon see later on Daf Pehe, exactly how this drasha fits into the words of the pasuk, that the chovel has to pay litein refuah b'makom nezek. He's got to pay the nechbal. That means Reuven, the chovel, has to pay Shimon the nechbal the doctor's fees, even in a case where he pays nezek, which means that the value of the nechbal of Shimon on the shuk, on the market as an eved, has decreased. And therefore, there is a payment for that devaluation, and that's called nezek. On top of nezek, there's a chiv to pay ripui. The is al kedaitach mamish, and if you're going to assume that we take ayin tachas ayin literally, and therefore, in the case of Chovel B'chaver, we're going to take out the eye of the Chovel. If that be the case, why should there be an additional payment to the Nechbal, to Shimon, for Refuah? Ki hechi dahai boy asya, hai nami boy asya. The payment for Refuah is already included in the punishment of an eye for an eye. Because just like the Nechbal, Shimon would have to pay the hospital medical expenses, so too Reuven the Chovel is going to have to pay medical expenses. So why should it be, there be a halacha derived from Veropa Yerape, that in addition to the payment, in addition to the punishment of Ayin Tachas Ayin, there's an additional punishment of Dmei Refuah? It only makes sense if we assume that we don't take the Aver of the Chovel out, knock it out literally, ayin tachas ayin, and therefore the chovel does not have to pay any medical expenses. Therefore, let him pay money, what we call dmei nezek, and the Torah wants to tell us that in addition to paying nezek, you pay ripui. That makes sense. But again, just to review, if you assume we take out the aver of the chovel, then there's a payment of refuah that's included in the very implementation of ayin tachas ayin. And the Gemara rejects this. My kusha, that's not an argument. Dilma, perhaps ika de solik bisrei haya the ika de lo solik bisrei haya. Ula ma'inaf gemina le meisiv le hech devene bene. Every person is different. Some people are their skin and their body has a natural propensity to heal itself, and we don't need a long, complicated medical process and procedure in order to heal the person. Therefore, the payment for medical expenses is very limited. But there are those, the low solik bisrei haya, that there's a person, and many people fit this category, that their basar, their flesh, doesn't immediately bounce back. You know, the refuah, the healing process is long and complex and quite expensive. And therefore, the difference is going to be that the Torah says that the chovel has to pay the difference. Let's say, for example, if the nechbal is someone delo solik bisrei haya, therefore he's going to have to pay 50 zuz for medical expenses, whereas the chovel himself will only have to spend 30 zuz, let him pay the 20 zuz differential. And therefore, the Gemara doesn't accept the logic of Rav Papa Mishmei de Rava. Rav Ashi has a different source to derive the conclusion that we don't take out the aver of the chovel and implement ayin tachas ayin literally. Asi, we derive it from tachas, tachas mishar. In the case of shar muad, we have the word tachas. Here, ksiv hoch, in the case of chovel b'chavero, ayin tachas ayin, uksiv hosam, in the case of shar muad, if he was nogeach, someone shalim yeshalim shor tachas hashor malahal and momon afkan momon. Just like in the case of a shor that was nogeach, the payment is money, is is monetary compensation, so too, by virtue of this gzeirah shavah, in the case of ayin tachas ayin, the payment is monetary rather than a physical removal of his eye. The other Amoraim who didn't invoke this gzeirah shavah, it's possible because they didn't have a Kabbalah, a transmission, ish mi pi ish, Rav to Talmud, in order to derive anything from this gzeirah shavah. And they interpreted the tachas here to teach us meitav. If you remember back in the Gemara, at the beginning of Bava Kamma, we derive in the cases of 24 categories in the Zikah that they pay meitav. And that's derived from this gzeirah shavah. They didn't have the gzeirah shavah to derive conclusions about ayin tachas ayin mamon. The Gemara says, "My chazis the alphas tachas tachas mishar nelif tachas tachas me adam." If there's a gzeirah shavah, why choose the gzeirah shavah from shor to the case of ayin tachas ayin to chavola? In the parish of adam, it says tachas tichsiv. The pasuk says in Parshas Mishpatim Yoson Yeh V'nasata Nefesh Tachas Nefesh Malahalon, in a case where as a result of that brawl somebody was killed, and an Adam Shahoreg is killed, and we take his Nefesh literally Mamish, is Afkan here too. In the case of Chov Chavero, where it also says Tachas, we're going to derive the conclusion that Ayin Tachasachim means we take his ayin mamish, and he doesn't get away with paying money. And the Ramban says that there was a Kabbalah, ish mi pi ish, that there's a gzeir shav of tachas tachas. The question is, and this wasn't part of the transmission, part of the Masorah, which tachas is being equated to which tachas? And our Tana came up with a svara that we should derive from the tachas in the parish of Shor, where it says Shalom Yishalom Shor Tachas Ashor. The Gemara is arguing now, perhaps this very same gzeirah shavah of tachas in the case of Ayin Tachas Ayin should be equated to Venasata Nefesh Tachas Nefesh. Amri, the Gemara answers, Dunim, this is to defend Rav Ashi, who has his gzeirah shavah of Shor Amuad, and not from Adam Shahorag Donim Nizokin. Minizokim ain't Donim Nizokim Imisa. It makes more sense to apply this gzeirah shavah to equate two cases of Nizokin. The case where the shor damages another shor, and the case where a man is chovel, he assaults another man. So the similarity here is that we're talking about payment of compensation for Nizikin. However, it doesn't make sense to utilize and implement this gzeirah shavah vis-a-vis Adam Shaharag. Adam Shaharag is already a different category. It's not Nezikin, but rather we're talking about capital punishment for murder. And therefore there's no similarity here between the tachas of nefesh, tachas nefesh, in the case of a rotzeach, and the case of ayin tachas ayin, in the case of chovel. Because chovel basically is mamon, is nezikin. It's not misa. So the Gemara says, Adrav, but wait a minute. Isn't there a fundamental common denominator between v'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh in the case of murder and ayin tachas ayin in the case of chavola? And we should leave out the tachas of shor hamuad. Shalom Yishalom Shor Tachas Shor, that should be left out. Why? Because Donim Adam Adam, V'ein Donim Adam V'heima. The similarity between Adam and Adam is greater than that of Adam to Behema. And therefore it's much more logical and attractive to maintain the position that Adam Shehizik and Adam Shehemis, the case of Chavol and the case of Rotzech, those two cases, insofar as they're both Adam, are very, very similar. And it's more logical to set up the gzeirah shavah of tachas tachas for those two cases. Why stretch your arm out to a case that's totally foreign? And that is Adam that's the case of Behema Shehizika. Ella, the Gemara now suggests that Rav Ashi is not deriving this halacha from gzeirah shavah of tachas tachas, but rather I mean tachas in the parish of Shor Mu'ud, but rather mitachas asher ina yolifla. And now we're talking about the parsha in Dvarim Chav Beis and Kitetze of Ones. The pasuk says, "V'nasan ha'ish ha'shochev imol avi'anara chamishim kosef tachas asher ina." And the case of Ones, the Torah formulates a knas, and the Ones has to pay chamishim kesef l'avi'anara. And the word tachas here is going to be the conduit for understanding tacha ayin tachas ayin and making a gzeir shav between Ones, who pays 50 kesef, and ayin tachas ayin, the chovel case, where he pays kesef as well. And what do we gain here by substituting the tachas of Ones in place of the other possible tachas of Shor Mu'ud? We have all good tzach. We have all the benefits here because we're equating Adam le Adam. In other words, both in the case of Ones and in the case of Chovel, we're dealing with Adam be Adam, and Nezikim and Nezikin. We're dealing with two cases, two scenarios in which the payment is for damages, not for a chiyuv misa and a chiyuv ritzeach. Now, where is the hezek? Why do we classify Ones as Nezikin? And that's based on the Gemara at the end of Elul Nairis and Ksubas that says that the domim of a woman who was raped is now Nifchasim B'kach. And that's why, in fact, the Ones pays Pagam. Pagam is a Nezek. And that's in addition to the Chamishim Kesef that he pays as a penalty. And the Rambam here writes in Perek Aleph Milchus Chovel Umazik Minayin Shezesh and Emar Be'evarim, referring to a Chovel Ayin Tachas Ayin Tashlumenu. How do we know it's payment of monies? And the Rambam's answer is Shenemar Chabura Tachas Chabura Ubeferish Nemar V'chiyake Ish Esrei Eyu Be'even Ove Egrov Rak Shivto Yite V'rapo Yerapa Holomadito Shetachas Shenemar Bachabura Tashlumin Vuadin Litachas Hanemar Biayin Ubishar Evorim. The Rambam comes up with what seems to be his own answer to this question of how Tachas is going to teach me that Ayin Tachas Ayin is Tashlume Mamon. This is not an answer that we found in Algamar. We don't know what the source of the Rambam is. Again, the Achronim want to claim, the Mefarshei Rambam, that this is how the Rambam had the Limud of Rav Papa in the name of Rava from the Pasuk V'rapo Yerape. But in any event, it seems that the Rambam doesn't have the girsa of the Gzeir Shavar Rav Ashi of Tachas Asher Ino in Ones, but rather Chabur Tachas Chabur in Chovel itself. And that's a radical chiddush of the Rambam. The Gemara now quotes a brisa of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Ayin Tachas Ayin Mamish, which if you translate this literally, it means that according to Rabbi Eliezer, we take out literally an eye for an eye. Mamish Salkadaitach, is it possible to say such a thing? Rabbi Eliezer, less like a cholhani tanoi, we've just quoted a whole barrage of tanoim, all of whom agree, without any dissenting opinion, universally, that chovel pays mamon, and he does not get his eye taken out. And therefore, how can we understand this statement of Rabbi Eliezer? Now, you remember that the Rambam is very interested consistently in the concept of halacha l'moshe misinai. And the Rambam, at the beginning of Chovel Mazik, says, Afal pi shedvarim elu nirim me'inyin tarsh v'chsav, kulon mefuroshin ein mipi Moshe me'ar Sinai v'kulom halacha l'maisa hein biyodenu. Kazer roa v'seinu donim b'vezdino shal Yoshua, v'vezdino shal Shmuel Aramosi, uvechol bezdin, ubezdin sha'om dubimos Moshe ve'arachshav. In other words, it's very interesting. All these limudim that we derive from the Torah, And for one example is pre Eitz Hadar, which is an Esrog. This is all explicated by the oral Torah that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu b'Sinai and passed on. And it's interesting that according to the Rambam, even though, despite the fact that this is part of the Mesorah from Ishmipish, from Moshe Rabbeinu b'Sinai, nevertheless, despite that fact, the Talmud Bavli is interested in investigating and finding in the scriptures some sort of smach, minakosov, some sort of peg to hang their head on. And here too, it's simple and unquestionable to the Gemara that we don't find anyone, not one single Tana, who holds that the Chovel has to have his eye taken out, then it must be that that's what they saw, witness for all the Batei Dinim from back to the time Moshe's Beis Dino and Yeshua Beis Dino. That was Mekubal Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai. But at the same time, the Tanoim were looking to find some sort of smach, some sort of basis or allusion in the Torah. Each one came up with his pasuk and his analysis. But the Gemara now asks, it's not logical to assume that Rabbi Eliezer would doubt or would reject this din that ayin tachas ayin is mamon. Omar Rabba says, we misunderstood Rabbi Eliezer by taking him literally. Lomar, his intention was, she'ein shomen al soki eved. It means that the Nechbal should not be evaluated, as we learned in the Mishnah, as an Eved, meaning how much his depreciation went down on the Shuk, on the market for Avodim, but rather, according to Rabbi Eliezer, we would evaluate the Nechbal himself as he is evaluated. Now, what does that mean? Omale Abaye Elokiman. How are you going to evaluate the Nechbal himself? Ki ben chorin, mi yisle dami. Are you telling me that we're circumventing the whole parasha of Eved here? We don't have to evaluate his market value on the Eved market because we're going to value him as a ben chorin, but there's no money for a ben chorin. How are you going to evaluate a ben chorin? He's not sold in the shuk. El Omar Rav Ashi, what does Rabbi Eliezer mean? Lomar shein shaman oso benizak elo bemazik. Wow. This is a radical breakthrough in our sugya at the beginning of Perek HaChovel, the unique, revolutionary, I would call it, sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, that when we evaluate these Tashlumei Nezikin, we're not evaluating the Nizak as we had assumed until now, but rather the Mazik. We're going to look at the Mazik as if he lost that very same Aver, that limb that he took away from the Nechbal, from Shimon, and we're going to ask ourselves, well, how much would the value of the Mazik's worth on the Eved Shuk, on the market for servants, how much was it devaluated? How much is it worth now if we would sell the Mazik, the one who bludgeoned his friend, how much would he be worth on the market if sold today as an Eved, and how much less would he be sold for if he had lost that exact Eved that he took out? That's Ayin Tachas Ayin Mamish. What does Rabbi Eliezer mean, Mamish? He means the word Mamish is a code word for the Mazik. Ayin Tachas Ayin of the Mazik. We're going to evaluate the Mazik's eye, and how do you do that? Tachas Ayin Eino Shel Nizak. So that the ayin of the mazik, which again is mamon, the devaluation as sold as an eved, is going to be comparable to the ayin that was lost of the nizak. But the actual shuma is going to be done with the body and the aver of the mazik. And here we have a fascinating explanation of Tosfos to understand the logic that underlies Rabbi Eliezer's statement, and it's all based on the Gemara that we did yesterday on Pei Gimel and Beis. The Braisa there says that we derive the law of Mamon in the case of Chovel from the Pasuk in Bamidbar lo sikhu kofer lenefesh rotseach. We don't accept a kofer, a ransom, in the case of a murderer, but we do accept ransom in the case of a chovel. In other words, the Torah clearly defines the essence of Tashlumei Chavola as kofer. Now, with regard to kofar, well, that's familiar territory. Kofar, like for example, in the case of someone who shor killed an adam, in kofar yushasol, kofar is to be evaluated, and that's a sugi back on daf mem, b'tmei mazik. Basically, the mazik is redeeming himself. So he has to pay the money that he himself is worth. Again, all the other Tanoim didn't learn this. They think that kofar means dmei mazik. It's a pidyon nafshel shel mazik, but it's paid and evaluated through dmei nizak. The chiddush of Rabbi Eliezer is if this payment called tashlumei chavola is a kofar, then let it be evaluated through the dmei mazik, not through dmei nizak. And even though we haven't found anyone who said that kofar dmei mazik, who the only shita that we know of that kofar pays dmei mazik is Rabbi Shmuel ben Oshel, Rabbi Yochanan Brok over there on Daf Mem, Tosus apparently holds that all the Tanoim in our sugya, with the exception of Rabbi Eliezer, would accept the principle of kofar dmei mazik. Whereas, oddly enough, Rabbi Eliezer accepts the view of Rabbi Shmuel ben Oshel ben Broka, which is a sort of dissenting minority view, that kofar is dmei mazik. And applying kofar dmei mazik from the case of shor shehemis adam to the case of adam shechavol bi adam, that's the analogy, that's the equation that underlies the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. So again, just to summarize, Tosfos has presented a very fascinating revolutionary sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. The nature of Tashlumei Chavola is kofar, and basically he's paying for his own life, or so to speak, his own aver that should be taken out. And even though in Rotzech we don't take a kofar, but in the case of Chavola we do. And the way we evaluate that kofar, in which the Mazik is the Chovil is saving himself the Aver that should be taken out, is to pay his value, you know, the value of that Aver for this person, the Mazik. And that indeed is the Sheet of Rabbi Shmuel, Benoshel, Rabbi Yochanan and Broka, with regard to the Kofar of Shor Shehemis Adam, that the Bailin pay Dmei Mazik, the value of themselves. The Gemara now tells the story, Yahu Chamra de Kota Yoda de Yanuka. Again, the facts of the case apparently weren't crystal clear when they came in front of Rav Papa. But the Gemara testifies that in fact it was a chamor, it was a donkey, that injured the arm of a young child. Yanuka is a young child, let's say probably in the age bracket of 5 to 10. Also, the Kami Rav Papa Bar Shmuel, the case came where the father of this child sued the defendant, and the defendant obviously was the owner of the donkey, but Rav Papa wasn't aware of this. Amalu Rav Papa. Rav Papa says to the Dayanim of the Bezdin, Zilu Shomule, go ahead and evaluate what we call a Shuma on behalf of the Nizak, meaning the father of the child, the Chiyuvim of Tashlumei Arba Dvarim. For some reason he didn't mention Nezik here, but the rest of the four Dvarim. Now, obviously, Rav Papa was misled himself, or he was unaware of the fact that we're talking about an animal that was Chovil. We're not talking about a man that was Chovel. The unique and singular Chiyuv of Tashlumei Chavol is only for Adam Shechovel B'Adam, not Chamor Shechovel B'Adam. And that's exactly what's going to be clarified as we go along. But first, the Gemara takes a little bit of a detour. Amal Le Rava. Rava turns to Rav Papa and says, V'anan Chamisha Tanan. If you, Rav Papa, are applying the principle of Chavol and Tashlumei Chavol, why do you limit it to four and not to five? Amal Le Rav Papa says, Labar me nezekam, and I left out nezek, which means that there was no need for me to mention nezek. That was crystal clear. That's not a unique chavola chiyuv. That's the common denominator for all of this, you get to pay nezek. I'm just adding that since it was a chavola, and the child was nechbal, therefore the payments of the four tashlumi in addition to nezikin should be added. And you're right, the total number is five. Now, it's very interesting that if the number here is five, that includes boshes. In the case of a child, can you say that the child suffers boshes? And the answer to that is, it really depends upon the age of the child of the nechbal, because as we said over and over again, that the may boshes really is dependent upon the suffering, the level of humiliation of that particular chavola suffered by that particular nechbal. In any event, Omalei Abaye turns to Papa Bar Shmuel and he says to Vachamor, who, we're not talking about chavola. What are you talking about? Five payments. Chamor and Mishalim El Nezek Bilvad. The only payment that the owner of the chamor should be responsible for, compensation, is called Nezek. In fact, when we talk about Nezek in this context, we're talking really about Chatzi Nezek, not even Nezek Sholem. And the reason for that is that a chamor that chops up the hand of a child, that's Meshuna, that's not Darko, but that's not Urche, it cannot be considered anything but Keren, which is Kavanos Lahazik. And to say that we're talking about a chamor that's Muad, and if he pays Nezek Sholem, that's very difficult, because this whole story takes place in Bavel, and Rav Papa, Abaye, and Rava, these are all Chachmei Bavel, and as we'll soon see, Ein Muad BeBavel, there's no din of Muad BeBavel, except in some weird case where they were made against the Baal HaShor three times in Eretz Yisrael, and then the Nezek happened in Bavel. I mean, a whole weird concoction there. But in any event, we're talking about a classical case of Mishuna, which is Keren Tam, and therefore you pay Chatzi Nezek. We paskin, and this is the sugya back on Daf Tezvav, the Chatzi Nezek Knashu, and therefore ain't Govin Knasos Bebovel, as the Gemara is going to explain in just one moment. So be that as it may, the objection here against Rav Papa's psak on the part of Abaye is crystal clear. Number one, there can't be all these tashlumi chavola because we're talking about a chamor. And even with regard to Nezek, we're talking about something that's Mishuna. Here we are in Bavel, and Ein Govin Knas BeBavel, Chatzi Nezek, in the case of a short time, is Knas. Amalahu, Rav Papa said to him, Zil Shomule Nizke. Now I realize what you're talking about. You're talking about not a person that attacked this child, but rather an animal that attacked this child. Go ahead and evaluate the damage, and let the Baal HaChamor pay that damage. Ah, you'll tell me it's a Chatzi Nezek and Ein Govin Knasos BeBavel. So we're going to have to assume that there's some reason, which we'll leave out for a second here, I know the secret, but I'm not revealing it yet, as to why Rav Papa would have encouraged and Paschal that we should go ahead and evaluate the Nezek, when he cannot possibly implement the collection of that Nezek, because we're talking about Bavel, and Mishuna in Bavel, which is Knas, is Ein Govin Knosos BeBavel. So Abaye asks him, "Vahaka avda boy lemishayme." Now, based on the Mishnah back on Pei Gimel, we have to evaluate the nezek in terms of an eved that has to be sold on the market. Why did you tell me, or tell the dayanim, zilu shomule nizke? You left out the main point over here, that we should do this evaluation as an eved bashuk. Amar Lahu, Sir Papa responded to the Dayanim, and he said, Zilu Shaimuhu Kiavda, go ahead and evaluate him as an Eved. And that's how you're going to come up with Nezek. As if the Nezek took place to an Eved that was about to be sold, and now he depreciates his value as a result of this terrible damage, this harm that he suffered. And that's exactly what the Baal HaChamor has to pay to the Nizak. And now the Gemara finishes up the story. Amaluhu avua dianuka, and the father of the child says, "Lo be'ina, I'm not excited about this evaluation of my son as if he was an eved to be sold on the market, the Zilabe Milsa. And you get the impression, Zilabe Milsa, it's an embarrassment here for this child to be evaluated as an eved animkar, Omei Limacher, that they actually elicited some sort of response from the potential buyers out in the market who would be interested in purchasing an eved. And that's a zilube, that's a zilzil for a child to be put through this process. Yeah, but the Chachamim and the Dayanim are not excited about this. The father wants to, in a sense, do away with Shuman. If he does away with Shuman, he can't collect a dime. Amru Le, the Dayanim said to the father of the child, V'haka machayves le liyanuka, what you're doing is a harah. It's detrimental to the status of your own child. Because basically you're waiving this Kabbalah. The child is not going to collect the Kabbalah because there won't be a Shuma, Kevin, and Nimka B'Shuk. As a result, there won't be any Tashlum of Demei Kabbalah to the Yelid, to this child. And in truth, the Tashlum belong to the child himself. They're not really yours to waive. And the reason for that is because, as the Brisa says later on in Daf Pei Zayin, Ktanim Shehuzku, when a katan is damaged, he suffers as a victim of damage, then the kesef that's paid has to be put in escrow for the child. So when he becomes of age, he can collect it from the treasury of the escrow. And the reason for that is because he, the child himself, as the Nechbal, as the Nizak, has rights to collect this money. And you, the father now, are waiving the rights that really accrue to the child. You are causing a hefsed to the child. Amalahu, the father of the child, responded to this claim of the Dayanim, this argument against him. L'chi gadil mafaisin alei midi, don't worry. I will put the money in a bank account, and whatever dmei chavola kevin nimkav shuk, my young son should have been able to collect, that's going to be waiting for him, locked up, and he will collect it when he is of age. So therefore, I'm not doing anything that is detrimental to the financial well-being and collectability of the child. He'll collect his chov, but not now. I'll guarantee that it comes out of my pocket. And the impression you get is that the Dayanim, because there's no line beyond this, and the Dayanim accepted this argument of the father of the child, and they were willing to accept the fact that the father would repay his child when his child is of age. And the Meiri writes that that's how we pass in Halacha. That if a father says, puts forward this argument, and he wants to waive the rights to collect nezek, tashume nezek for his son, he's allowed to do so if he guarantees that he'll be reimbursing his son at an older age. So everything that the father is doing for his child is out of a sense of love. The Gemara tells us another story now regarding tashume nezek and ahu, Torah, that's a shar, the alas yodei diyanuka, that literally mauled on the child's hand and destroyed the child's hand, terrible tragedy. Also, lekami de rova, the father of the child came in front of rova and he wanted to sue the owner of the shar for damages. Amalahu, rova says to the dayanim, listen, I got a problem. Because zilu shaimuhu ki avda, go ahead and evaluate this child as if he were an eved that's about to be sold in the shuk. And if he's sold as a slave, now his value on the market is depreciated because of the fact that he suffered this terrible nezek to his arm. Amar le v'amar hu di amar. But wait a second, Rabbi, you told us kol anishom ke eved ein govino sobebavel. What are you talking about, Rabbi, that we're going to now collect damages? And this collection of damages here in Bavel applies in this case of a nishom ke'eved. Do we have the ability of nishom ke'eved to evaluate a nezikin, a tashlumi nezik, by figuring out what he's worth on the market as an eved? We don't have that ability, and therefore, Ravi, you yourself are committed to the position that in such a case where the nezik has to be evaluated as an eved, is ein govino sobe bavel. There's no possibility of collecting it. in Bavel. So how is it possible for you to claim that we should now go ahead and evaluate this child as if he were an Eved HaNimkar Bishuk? Amalahu, Rava responds, Lo Tzricha De'i Tafas. And Rabosai, this answer, which we'll explain momentarily, is going to answer the question that we asked before in the previous sugya of Rav Papa Bar Shmuel. And it was strange that Rav Papa told the Dayanim Zilu Shumale Nizke when we're talking about Chatzi Nezek of a Mishuna, meaning of a Shor Tam, which is a Knas and Engov and Knas Be Bavel. And the answer to that question about Rav Papa lies here in the way Rava told the Dayanim to do the Shuma of an Eved. And the answer is Lo Tzricha Di Tofas is Lo Mafkina Mine. We need this Shuma of the child as an Eved so that if, let's say, the Nizak would go ahead and grab the money today, tomorrow, whenever it is, from the Mazik, that's called Tfisa, the Tofas, is we're not going to remove that money from it. In other words, we cannot implement and force and compel the Mazik to pay Knas because we are in Bavel. But if the Nizak takes the law into his own hands and he does what's called Tfisa, we kind of collect it on his behalf, but if he collected it on his own, then we won't force him to cough it up and return that money. He can maintain and be ma'akev that Tashlume Mammon as Tashlume Nezek, and the Mazik has no recourse to sue the Nizak in court to get back his money, because Tfisa is meaningful in the case of a Knas in Bavel. And that's a beautiful explanation, not only of Rava's Psak, but of also Rav Papa. Maybe Rav Papa and Rava wanted to do the Shuma very urgently, as soon as possible, because since Ein Govin Knas Bavel, if we don't do it immediately, who knows what's going to happen? And the Pnei Yeshua points out over here that the case of a shor that mauls the hand of a child, Rachman al-Litzlan, is a case of Ein Darko Bekach, it's Mishuna, it's a told of Keren. Now, what bothers the Pnei Yeshua here is, when the Gemara raises this objection against Rava, he says, Hu adin ha yuchom lahakshas l'Rava rei kevan sheknasu ein govino so bebovel. Why did the Gemara have to invoke Rava's statement of Kol Anishom Ke'eved Ein Govino Sova? Just call it a Knas. And we paskin like the Man the Omer Chatzi Nezek in Shor Tam is Knosahu. Way back on Tezva. And the answer, says the Pnei Yeshua, is, you know what? The Machlokas back on Tezvav is very fundamental. How do we understand Chatzi Nezek Tam? Is it a Knas? Is it Moment? Why even enter into that minefield and that very questionable controversy? Let's just fling back Rava's own position to himself. Rava has a position that Kol Anishom Ke'eved is Ein Govino So Bebovel. How then could Rava implement a Gvir here that's of Nezek that's based on Nishom Ke'eved? Now Rashi, Dibra Maschil Itofas, let's just read it inside. And this you'll find towards the end, about seven lines up from the end of the daf. He says, "Hachi amaluhu shumulu." This is what Rav was telling the Dayanim: evaluate them today or tomorrow. And yitfos mishalo yakvenu, and that will give the green light to the Nizak to go ahead and do tfisa. And the rush is finds here a problem. Here is ain shomin klal kodem shetofas hanizak. He is of the opinion, and again, this is a principle that has to be studied and investigated on a very fundamental basis, that there is no Shuma before Tfisa. There's when the Nizak goes in his toface, then there's Allah, we do the Shuma. But if the Tfisa hasn't taken place yet, then are we going to do the Shuma? Sha'amar lem shachin lo haisa kavanoso. Sheish yashumuhu kedelik vos ela im kvartofas yashumu esanezek today she yachsir mashitofas yosem yishar hanesek. So the Rosh is so impressed by this question that he reinterprets our Gemara of Rava. Rava never meant to say, let's do the Shuma. What Rava meant to say was that if, in fact, the Nizak was tofes from the Mazik, and now we have to make sure and guarantee that he wasn't tofes more than he was allowed to, this is not a Hefker Velt. Therefore, Rava says, under those circumstances, we're going to have to do a Shuma. But again, as far as the ability of Bezdin to actually collect this fee, that's impossible because of Rava's Shita of Nishom, Kol HaNishom, Ki Eved Ein Gover Noso B'Bavel. Rava L'Tame, the Omar Rava, Nizkei Shar B'Shar. Oh, this is very important, Rabbosai. This line is, which is two lines above the bottom of Pei Dalet Amud Aleph, is actually an introduction to the long sugya that's going to come on right after the sugya on Pei Dalet Amud Beis. So let's get this right. Rava is going to split up Nezikin into two categories, one of which can be collected and implemented in Bavel, one which cannot. And here's how it works out. Nizkei Shar B'Shar. If you're paying for the damage of a Shar, B'Shar means Al Yidei Shar, and the Nizkei Shar B'Adam. If a person was, I'm sorry, if a Shar was damaged, Al Yidei Adam, again, B'Adam, Bishar, those words mean Al Yidei Adam, Al Yidei Shar, is Govan Oso B'Bavel. These are cases in which there will be collection of Tashlumin and Zikin in Bavel, when either a Shar was damaged by a Shar, or a Shar was damaged by an Adam. However, Nizkei Adam Ba'Adam, when the Nizak was an Adam, and Vinizke Adam Bishar, in other words, in the first case, the Adam was Nizok Al Yidei Adam, in the second case, he was Nizok Al Yidei Shar, in both cases, Ein Govenoso B'Bavel, there's no collection. So again, in the case where the Nizak is the Shar, is monetary possessions, then we collect it and we force the Mazik to pay the Nizak in Bavel. But if the Nizak was an Adam, whether or not it was the Mazik was an Adam or a Shar, that is collectible even in Bavel. Now, in the last two cases, clearly this is Rava L'Shitaso, because Rava holds, as Rashi points out right here on the spot, that it's Kol HaNishom B'Bezdin, meaning we have to do a Shuma of Eved, and the reason for that is because there's no set amount of price that we know that he has to pay, so we have to figure it out through the Nishom, the Shuma of Eved B'Bezdin, B'Shuk. And therefore, Rava L'Shitaso holds that Kol HaNishom Ke'eved is Ein Govano So B'Bavel. Again, we still don't know why, and we're going to get to that in Mitzvah soon. However, what the Gemara is going to object here is we don't understand the logical distinction. If you're telling me you need Nisham B'Bezdin Ke'eved, then that should apply straight across the board, even if the Shar was the Nizak, although not as an Eved. Obviously, we're not selling the Shar as an Eved, there is no such thing, but nevertheless, we definitely need Shuma for the Dayanim to evaluate exactly how much loss the Baal HaShar, the Nizak, suffered, sustained. So the Gemara asks, Maishnar Nizkei Adam B'Adam Nizkei Adam B'Shar D'lo, in the case where a man was damaged by either another man or by a Shar, we don't collect those fees, those compensations in Bavel, and the reason is Elohim Be'inon Veleka, that in the Parsha of in Parsha Mishpatim Chaf Aleph V'chi Yerivun Anoshim, there it says that we're talking about a case of a person who was damaged by another person, and then a person who was damaged by a shor is written there, and the parasha says, Ki igach shoris ish. and it says Ad Elohim Yavo Dvar Shnehem, which is the basis for the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Beis to derive that you must bring this din in front of Elohim, which is Dayan Mumche. And the Gemara thinks that this din of requiring Elohim, meaning Dayan Mumche, applies not only in the case of Adam Shenizak Shehuzak, but even in the case of Ashar Shehuzak, to evaluate exactly what the damage is. Is that what the Gemara says? That if you're applying the principle of Elohim, be'inan v'leka, is the same logic should be applied to Nizke Shar b'shar b'shar b'adam nami. Even if the Shar was damaged, but nevertheless we need an evaluation. And in order to evaluate, you need Elohim. Elohim means smicha, meaning Elohim means Dayanim that received smicha. And that's an unbroken change of smicha that goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu. And that we don't have in Bavel. And the Gemara now explains the following. And here we turn to Daf Pei Dalet Amud Beis. Elohim Be'inon V'leka. That even in the case, and this is all part of the Gemara's Kasha, even in the case of a Shar Shehuzak, the Shar was damaged, we still need Dayanim Mumchem, which is called Elohim, in order to evaluate the damage. And if you look back in the Parsha Mishpatim, even with regard to Nizkei Shar B'Shar, or if an Adam was Mazik Ashar, the Torah says in that same Parsha Elohim. In Shar B'Shar, it says, V'chiyigov Shar Ish Ashari Eyu, and Shar B'Adam, meaning Al Yidei Adam, Im Lo Shalach Yadav Melechas Rei Eyu, and that's the case of Sholeach Yad B'Shar Shehufkad Eitzel Etzel Eschayev Tesh, that Shar Shehuzak Machmas Adam. So we're talking about two Parshas of Nizkei Shar, either the Shar was a victim of an attack by another Shar, or by a human being, and in both cases the Torah says, Elohim. So we need Dayan Mumchim of Smuchim in order to evaluate exactly how much the Nezek is the price tag for the Nezek. Ela. And here the Gemara comes up with a breakthrough Chilik, which is not unique here to Bava Kama, it's also in Sanhedrin, but something very fundamental. Maishna Shar B'Shar B'Shar Ba'adam, when the Shar was damaged, is the Shlichu Sayu Kavdinon. Even though we don't have in Bavel Smuchim Ish B'Pi Ish, but nevertheless we function, the Dayanim in Bavel, as Shluchim, as agents, so to speak, who receive permission from the Dayanim in Eretz Yisrael, and that allows them to go ahead and implement a Psak Bezdin as if they were the Dayanim of Eretz Yisrael. That's called Shlichu Sayu Kavdinon. And the source for this is Midi Dehava Ahodos Valvos. In the case of someone who borrowed money and someone who admitted that he has to pay money, in those cases, if those cases have to be adjudicated in Bezdin, the halacha is that even in Bavel, the Dayanim could force the Malva to pay, the Lova to pay the Malva. He can force the Moda to pay the one to whom he was Moda. And the reason for this is the underlying principle upon which is predicated Shlichus of Dayanim, the Shluchei Bavel, the Dayanim Bavel, or for that matter, Dayanim and Chutzlaretz, are an extended arm, of, if you will, an agent of the Dayanim of Eretz Yisrael Mumchim. And the reason why this principle of Shlichu Sayu Kavdinon is so critical is because we don't want, in the case of Halvos, for example, Shalotinol Deles Bifnei Lovin, who's going to want to extend a loan if he knows he has no recourse in business to collect his loan and force the lover to pay back his loan? And therefore, if the Malva is going to be inhibited, he's going to say, well, they won't find Dayanim Mumchin, then that's no good. And even though, according to the Din Torah, strictly according to Torah law, you need Dayanim Mumchin in order to judge cases of Odos and Alvos, nevertheless, we have this Takonis Chachom that allowed Dayanim, even Dayanim of Hedyotos, they aren't on the level of Mumchin, to deal with these cases and be mechayev the defendant if there's evidence against him. And that's going to encourage Halva in the Jewish community, and it's all predicated on Shlichus Sayakov Dinon. And the Gemara is now applying this to explain Rava. Rava says that in the case of Nizke Shar, meaning the Shar himself was damaged through another Shar, through a person, the Dayanim in Bavel have the ability, the authority to judge these cases and force the Mazik to pay the Nizak. And that's based on Shlichus Sayakov Dinon. In this case, as opposed to Hodos, the reason that the Takanas Chacham was made in such a way is to avoid Mazikim. You know, we don't want a situation in Bava where people leave out Mazikin as if it was a Hefkevelt, knowing full well that there's not going to be, if the Nizak has no recourse to the Dayanim because the Dayanim can't judge, there's no Elohim to evaluate the Nizikin. But Adam be Adam under Bashar. Now ask yourself the question, well, what if a person was damaged? He was the victim of an attack from a Shor or from another Adam. Is why not apply the same principle of Nami Shlichus Sayukov Dinon? Me the Havi Hodos Valvos. If you're telling me that Hodos Valvos is the source for Shlichus Sayukov Dinon to allow for a quasi Bezdin Elohim in Chutz Laretz, when they're not really Elohim, they're not really Smuchim, and they're not really Mumchim, but nevertheless, Shlichus Sayakov Dinon, they have the okay and the green light from the Dayanim Mumchim of Eretz Yisrael, and that's how you justify that in the case of the Shar being the damaged party, we can judge the Mazik in a Bezdin in Bavel and force him to pay. Why not go a step further and apply that same logic, Rava, to the case of a human being who is the victim of damage, Imhuzaka Adam? There too, we should say that Bezdin should implement this to avoid and scare off the Mazikim and apply the principle of Shlichus Sayakov Dinon. Amri, so the Gemara answers, Kika Avdinon Shlichus Sayakov Dinon Kim Lon Bigave. It's only when it's absolutely clear to the Dayanim how to evaluate and come to an exact sum that should be paid, like for example in Halvos. There we understand very well that since the Malva is claiming and he adduces evidence to support his claim that the Lova barred $1,000, we know exactly how much has to be paid. Now the principle of Shlichus Sayakov Dinon kicks in. But in cases where it's not clear, like in Ezekiel, there's no given as to how much the Mazik should be paying the Nizak, we need a real Shuma. In such cases, Law of Dinah Shlichusayu, we don't have the gumption to go ahead and make this Shuma to evaluate the Nizikin and how much the Mazik has to pay the Nizak. And again, the Gemara now is maintaining that Dayani Bavel can become shluchim of Dayanim Eretz Yisrael, but only if they know exactly how much the Mazik should have to pay to the Nizak. If they don't know, if they have to do a Shuma and try to figure it all out, then the Dayanim of Eretz Yisrael are not going to give them a kind of green light and approval to go ahead and act as our shluchim in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, we're going to need mumchim and not shluchim. So Ami, the Gemara asks the following question, Shor b'shor b'shor b'adam nami lo kimle b'gaveh. You're telling me that in the case of Hodos, we know, Halvos, we know exactly how much has to be paid here. But in Ezekiel, we need an evaluation. Well, once again, I don't understand Rava's subdivision here, because even in the case where the Shor was Huzak, nevertheless, we don't know exactly how much the Nezik is. You know, there's no price tag here. We have to do a Shuma and we have to evaluate. That requires an evaluation. Ela, the Gemara says, Puk Chazi Hecha Mizbene. Hecha Mizdabne Torah Beshuka. Go out and figure out what the market value for a Shor is. How much can you expect a buyer to pay the seller in the open market for a shar? And then once you have an evaluation of the shar, which is a simple matter, then you can figure out how much has the shar been devaluated by virtue of the nezek. So the Gemara is not happy with that either. Adam be adam, adam be shar nami. Even in the case where a man was the object of some sort of a hezek, we could also go ahead and figure out how much that hezek was. Puk chazi hecha mizdavne Avdi b'shuke. Figure out how much an eved would be sold in the shuk. And now figure out how much, as a result of the nezek, the nizak has been devaluated. And now, why can't we be shluchim of the Dayanim of Eretz Yisrael v'od? And furthermore, I have another difficulty. Tashlume kefil tashlume arba v'chamisha dekaitzi naved shlichusayhu. In the case of a ganav who stole and then he shechted or sold the stolen goods, if we spent a whole perek on this, he pays tashlume kefil, he pays dalid vehei. And that's a case of kaitze. You know, we know exactly how much the value is. You know, we're going to evaluate the stolen object and then multiply it by 4 and 5 times. Is Navid Shluchim Sai, we should be Shluchim of the Dayanim of Eretz Yisrael. We should collect Kefel and Dalet Vehei. And yet, paradoxically, the halacha is, back on Daf Tezvav Amid Beis, Ein Govin Knossos Bebavel. We don't have Smicha to be Govin Knossos. And that's going to apply to Kefil and Dalet Vehei, but why not say, let's do the Shlichus of Eretz Yisrael? Again, we're not Smuchim, but if we have the green light and the authority that's vested in us by the Dayanim of Eretz Yisrael, we're like Smuchim, we're quasi-Smuchim. So why can't we force the Ganav to pay Kefil and Dalet Vehei? Amri, now we have to say that the distinction that Rava postulated between the two categories, namely whether it was a shah that was huzak or it was an adam huzak, should be understood a little differently. Amri, kikav dinan shlichu sayu, that's b'mamona, but b'knasa, lo avdinan shlichu sayu. When we're talking about a knas, for example, the case of Kefel and Dalet Vehei, then we don't apply the principle of Shlichu Sayu Kavdinot. But if we're talking about Mamona, like for example, the classical case that we mentioned before of Halvos, of loans, and now we're throwing in Nezikin into this group, like Halvos, because as we said, it's very easy to judge and to evaluate how much the Nezik was. Just go to the Shuk and figure it out. Is the principle of Shlichu Sayu Kavdinan applies very well in these cases of Mamona, but it's not going to apply in the case of Knas. So why are you asking me from Kefil and Dalet Vehei? So the Gemara asks again the obvious question, but Odom be Odom Mamona hu Navid Shlichu Sayu? To the same extent that you apply Shlichu Sayu Kavdinan to allow the Dayanim of Bavel to implement a payment through the Shum of Nezikin, in the case where the Shar was Huzak, apply the same Yosik if the Adam was Huzak. How much was the Adam HaNechbal, or Shehuzak, how much was the victim devaluated on the market for Avodim as a result of the Hezek? And that's also should come under Navid Shlichu Sayu. Again, if two conditions have to be met in order to implement the principle of Navid Shlichu Sayu, allowing the Dayanim in Bavel to be Machayev the Mazik, is condition number one, it's got to be Momen and not Knas. Condition number two, it's got to be something that Kimle Begave. Both conditions are met even in the case of Adam, Shehuzak al Yidei Adam. Why? Because number one, we're talking about Momen and not Knas. And number two, we're talking about being mafchis, his value, the Nizak's value on the market, and that's something that we can evaluate. It's Kimle Begave. Now, at this point, before we see the Gemara's answer, we have to raise an interesting question here. The Gemara asks and attacks this logic in Rava in the case of Adam be Adam. What about the Adam Bishar, meaning the Adam was Huzak al Yidei Hashar? I mean, Rava said in that case as well, we have to forfeit or waive our ability to implement the Chiyuv. And the Toras Chaim, one of the great Achronim, wants to suggest that whenever you pay less than the actual damage, that's also a knas. Now, we always assume that knas equals when you pay more than the compensation element. But truth be told, the Toras Chaim proves that even if you're paying less than the compensation, less than mida keneged mida, that's also a knas. Now here, in the case of an Adam Shehuzak, so it depends. If we're talking about Chavola, Adam be Adam, and we're talking about 4 out of 5 Tashlumin, meaning If we're talking about Tsar, Ripui, Sheves, and Boshes, those are paid penny for penny. We're going to evaluate, and that's what he's going to pay. And that's what exactly what the Nizak deserves to be deserves to collect. The victim deserves that money. That's called Mamon and not Knas. However, in the case of Adam Shehuzak al Yedei Shar, where we're talking about Nezek, and that's it. There's nothing else besides Nezek that the owner of the Shar has to pay. In this case, we're really talking, says the Taras Chaim, it's a pretty radical Chiddush, about Knas. Why? Because the law of Eved Beshuk, in the case of Nezek, does not differentiate between one person and another. Again, we're not going to say that. Well, because he was such a great person, this Nizak, who was attacked by a shor, therefore the shuma should be that much greater. No, we're talking about Ke'evet HaNimkar B'Shuk. It doesn't matter who the person was. That's Ke'evet HaNimkar B'Shuk. So that the payment is going to always, in a sense, undershoot, undervalue. It's like a onah kind of situation where the mazik will only have to pay less than really what the nizak lost, and that's called a knas. And the Gemara understood very well why Rav excluded in the case of Adam Shehuzak Ayidei Shar a collection in Bavel. But what about other B'Adam? They are at least four out of five of the collections are pure, straightforward Mamon, and not Knas, is why can't you be Govit B'Bavel? And the conditions are met over here. We're talking about Mamon and not Knas, and we're talking about Kimlei B'Gavei. Just figure out, you know, how much he lost. Again, in Nezek, in Tsar, Ripui, Sheves, and Boshes. However, Rashi seems to say a little bit differently, that the question of the Gemara is on Tashlumi Nezek. The Pnei Yeshua wants to suggest a different answer to the question as to why the Gemara only attacks from Adam B'Adam and not from Adam Al Yedei Shar. And he wants to say that Adam Al Yedei Shar comes under a tolda of Keren, because it's Mishuna. Now, in the case of Toldas Keren, and I'm not exactly sure why the Pnei Yeshua calls it a told of Keren, or not Keren, the Av of Keren, but be that as it may, we're talking about Keren. And Keren, by definition, since we paskin Chatzi Nezek in the case of a Shartam, is Knas, is we're talking about a Knas and not Mama. And of course, as we said over and over again, one of the conditions for Bavel to Paskin is that it's got to be Mamon and not Knas. Here we're talking about Knas. And again, even if he was a Muad, but we're going to soon see Ein Muad B'Bavel. So therefore, the Gemara could only ask Akasha from the case of Shor Shehizik Adam, because those Tashlumin are clearly Mamon and not Knas. The Gemara could only ask from Adam Shehizik Adam, because that Tashlumin is Mamon and not Knas. Whereas Shor Shehizik Adam, that's Mishuna, that's Kerem Mishuna, that's Tam, that pays Knas. The Gemara answers, Kikav Dinin Shlichusai, we have to add another condition to applying and activating the principle of Shlichusai, B'milsa D'Shchicha, only something that's a Hezek Matsui, something that's commonplace, Adam B'Adam D'lo Shchicha, human assault. Again, the Gemara didn't know our Metzius today, but human assault against another human being is already Lo Shchicha, it's somewhat unusual. You know, the Shvarma going out there attacking human beings, that's one thing, but Adam B'Adam, that's Lo Shchicha, and therefore Lo Avdin Shlichusai. In other words, again, you see that the Gemara is really very stingy and very restrictive about applying the Shlichusayu. Only in certain conditions would the Beis Din of Eretz Yisrael, made up of Dayanim Mumchen, allow and authorize the Dayanim in Chutzlars to serve as their agents to implement the law. We want to guarantee that it's done perfectly well. It's got to be Mammon, it's got to be Kimlei B'Gavayu, it's got to be a Milsa the Shlicha. Then and only then will Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael give the the green light and appoint the Dayanim and Chutzlaretz as their shluchim. So the Gemara now asks, Hare Boshes Dishkiach. Again, there's a question of the Girsia, whether we also have the word Pagam. The Gemara is saying that maybe you're telling me that a man who assaults another human being is considered Lo Shkiach. And Chavol is therefore Lo Shkiach, and it's not, it doesn't lend itself to Shlichus Sayu. The Gemara says, what about the case of Boshes? And this is called Shkiach. There's a Mishnah later on Daf, where is it? I think it's on Daf Tzadi, that there are certain cases in which you pay a schum of Boshes, and that apparently is called Shchiach, for a person to, let's say, raise his hand against someone and embarrass him, and therefore the Mevuyosh has rights and recourse to claim damages and sue the Mevayesh. That's something that's called Shchiach. That's more common. Amri, so the Gemara says, Hochinami. And Hochinami, I'm going to prove to you from a story that happened that in Bavel they can collect Tashlume Boshes. Dohara Papa Agbe Arba Meo Zuzi Le Boshes. We have a case that we discussed towards the end of Bava Kamma, in which Rav Pop actually collected 400 zuz for Boshes, even though, of course, Rav Papa was in Bavel. So the Gemara asks, Volesa lit Rav Papa. But that story is not La Locha. We don't accept that La Locha. The Shalach Le Rav Chizdel Rav Nachman, Vishalach Le, there was a response to Rav Chizda's psak. I'm sorry, that to the there was a response to Rav Papa's psak of collecting Boshes in Bavel, in which Rav Chizda sent a messenger of Nachman, and he said to him, Chizda knosa komagbis be Bavel. Now, Rav Chizda sent a question to Rav Nachman, in which the underlying premise of that question was that we should collect Tashlume Boshes, and Rav Nachman responded, and he said, Chizda, Knosa Komagus B'Bavel, are you collecting Tashlume Boshes in Bavel? Tashlume Boshes is also considered a Knas. Now, this is a little bit problematic, why Tashlume Boshes fits into the category of Knas. After all, there is a specific way of evaluating how much the Nisbayesh suffered in terms of his humiliation. But here, Tosfos Divrei Rav Maskil Knos on the top of Pei Dalet Amud Beis points out that there's a broader definition of Knas, and we have to see how and when it applies, of something that's not a Chisaron Kis, meaning any payment that's not meant to compensate the Nizak for loss, for actually loss in his bank account, is not considered Mamon, but rather considered Knas. So even if I say that Boshes is Milsa de Shchicha, but nevertheless it's lacking in the basic condition, it's got to be Mamon and not Knas. Ella, so the Gemara now has to add a further embellishment and explanation to the split that Rava presents. Ki avdin shlichu sayu b'milsa d'shchicha v'ispei chisaron kis, al milsa d'shchicha v'lespei chisaron kis, inami milsa lo shchicha v'ispei chisaron kis, lo avdinin shlichu sayuhu. So the Gemara, and again, we'll see how this fleshes out, how this applies in explaining Rava, but the Gemara now sets up the following structure, that in order to implement the principle of Shlichus Sayu Kav Dinan and allow the Dayanim in Bavel to be Machayev the Nitba, what we're going to need is, number one, it's got to be a Milsa Shchicha, and number two, it's got to be an actual loss, a Chisaron Kis. And that, of course, applies in the paradigm of case of Halvos, where we know exactly how much has to be paid, and we're talking about Mammon, and we're talking about Milsa de Shchicha. Oh, but if, let's say, you have one of these two conditions but lack the other, let's say it's a Milsa de Shchicha but there's no Chisaron Kis, like in the case of Boshes, Or alternatively, if it's a milsa to lo shchicha, even if there is a chisaron kiss, then we don't do shlichus. And now the Gemara fleshes this out in order to explain Rava Hilchach. Therefore, how do we implement, how do we apply these abstract principles? When are we excluded from collecting tashlum and ezikin in Bavel? And the answer is, Adam be Adam. In the case where a man was attacked and injured by another man, afagata isbe chisaron kiss, even though as a result of this assault, the victim suffered a loss of finances, but nevertheless came lo shchicha. This is, as we said before, an unusual case. Lo avdin shlichus sayin. And boshes, afagata shchicha, even though we said boshes is more common than other cases of assault, but came into less bechisaron kiss, you're not compensating the nisbayesh for monies that he lost. Lo avdin shlichus sayin. Therefore, we don't implement shlichus. It would seem that according to the Maskona of this Gemara, in the case of Gzelos, which are collected in Bavel, in theory they should be collectible in Bavel to force the Gazlan to pay up for his theft, because again, we're talking about something that can be considered a chisaron kiss and shchicha. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, however, at the very beginning says that we need Dayon and Mumchen to collect Gzelos and Chavolos. And yet, Tosus points out, and other Rishonim point out, that there are cases throughout Shas where they collected the Gzelos in Bavel. So what does Gemara mean in Sanhedrin that you need Mumchen, which sounds like it only applies to Dayon and Mumchen in Eretz Yisrael? So Tosus answers that we're talking about a case where the Nigzal grabbed on, he was Tofes, and all those cases where the Gzelos were collected, it wasn't collected through Bezdin compelling the Gazlan, but rather because the Nigzal grabbed the money, and Ein Motzi'in Miyado. However, Rabbeinu Tam offers a different answer, and he says that which it says in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that you need Mumchen for Gzelos to judge theft, that's in a case where the Gazlan left the karka behind, and he only stole the pears from the karka. That's not considered chisaron kiss, even though it's common, it's shliach, but there's no chisaron kiss insofar as the karka can now produce fruit to replace that fruit that was stolen. But in a case where the gazan steals not only the fruits, but also the karka, says Rabbeinu Tam, that's called chisaron kiss, and therefore it fits into all the conditions that we need for collection in Bavel. The Dayanim in Bavel can collect Gzelos, and that's an explanation for all those cases throughout Shas that we find that they actually force the Gazan to pay. The Gemara now deals with the case of Shar Bishar. What about the case of Shar Bishar, which we said, according to Rava, is collectible in Bavel, because of the principle of shlichusayu koav dinon, which means that there's clear cut chisaron kiss, and it's milsa de shchicha, it's moment and aknas, all the conditions are met. Rava said, Vavama Rava, doesn't this contradict another statement of Rava? Shar shehizik ein govino sobe bavel. If a shar damages, we do not collect that in Bavel. The Dayanim are not authorized to compel the owner of the shor to pay for damages of his shor. How do we reconcile that with our Rava? So Gemara says, let's understand Rava's intention. The Azik Man, who was damaged by this shor? Ilema the Azik Adam. If the shor attacked a human being, my iria shor the azik adam, afilu adam the azik adam, nami ein govino sobe bavel. There's no reason why Rav would have made a statement about the shor shehizik. If the victim, the nizak, was an adam, then even if an adam was mazik, there's no collection in bavel. Elapshita the azik shor. One shor damaged, attacked another shor. And nevertheless, it says in the name of Rava, Ein Govino So Bibavel. And that's against what we said before, the very fundamental beginning of the sugya on Pei Dalid Omer Aleph on the bottom, where the Gemara establishes the name of Rava, that Shar Shizik Shar, even in Bava, we can force the Baal Ashar Mazik to pay damages. So how do we reconcile this? Amri, the Gemara answers, Hasam, that statement in the name of Rava, that a Shar Shizik Shar, we cannot collect in Bava, that's the case of a Shar Tam. And a Shar Tam is pays Chatzin as a Knasa, we pass it like that, Mandi Omar, and therefore it's a Knas, and cannot be collected in Bavel. But Hacha, where does Rava say that the Dayanim of Bavel can force the Mazik to pay damages in the case of Shar that was damaged by a Shar? That's a case of a Shar Muad. Already there were three Negichos, and there's a Hadah, Bifnei, Bailam, and Bezdin. They warned the owner of the Shar on three occasions that he has to watch his Shar. If he didn't do so, he pays Nezek Sholem as a Shar Muad. And that's Mamon and not Knas, and therefore it's collectible in Bavel. It's impossible, since, again, understand very well that since there's no process of Chatzi Nezek Tam in Bavel because Chatzi Nezek is Knasa, then we'll never ever get to the stage of a Shar Muad, because the Shar Muad is only after three Asros, Ha'ados technically is the word. And since we don't have any din of collecting the zikin of a shar tam in Bavel because it didn't knas, then he never becomes a shar muat. And the Gemara now is going to come up with a very complex case, a very unusual case to explain how you could possibly have a adjudication of Bezdin in Bavel with the Dayanim dealing with a shar muat and there being mechayev in mamon. But before we get to that, let's just read the psukim here in Parshas Mishpatim. It says there, "Im shar nagachu mitmol shilshom v'huad v'bov lo yishmerenu." They bring the shar into Bezdin in the presence of the owner of the shar, and they are made in front of him on the negichas of the shar. They warn the Baal Shar to do the shmir, and this happens time after time, three times over. If there's a fourth negicha, that's a negicha of a shar muad, and you pay nezek sholem. Now, since in Bavel, as long as the shar is the shar tam, the owner of the shar is potter because there's no gvias knas in Bavel, then they're not going to bother even bringing the shar to Bezdin. However, the Tosfos Rid is bothered by a sugya back on Daf Lamed Tes, and that's the case of shar shel cheres shotev katan shehizik. And there, there's halacha of ein ma'amidim apitropis ligvos es ha'nezek. In other words, there's no collection of damages in the case of a shor that's owned by cheres shel tevekot, and yet they will establish an apitropis in order to be miyayid the shor and set the shor up as a shor muad. And we see clearly that even if there's a p'tur tashlumen on the first three negichas, nevertheless there is a pras of ha'adah in Bezdin to warn the owner of the shor, in this case to warn the apotropos, to provide the higher level of shmir that's necessary, anticipating this shor that has a track record of three times over that will go out and damage. And therefore here, in our sugya, why does Gemara assume, without questioning this premise, that there's no possibility of a shor muad in Bavel? Based on this kasha, the Tosfos Rid offers an alternative suggestion as to why there's no hadah in Bavel. It has nothing to do with the fact that this process of bringing the Bailam into Bezdin on three occasions of the shor tam is meaningless in Bavel. No, that's not it. The problem is that hadah itself requires mumchim. There's a separate halacha of mumchim with regard to dayanim who are capable of being masra and accepting edim on a shor and giving ha'adah and a warning to the bailim. That is a separate requirement of mumchin, and that cannot be fulfilled in Bavel. So the Gemara answers, Amri, the ayid hasam, v'aitua lahacha. The process of ha'adah on this shor took place in Bezdin Shebe Eretz Yisrael, and they in Eretz Yisrael decided and determined that this shor is a shor muad after three negichos. Then the shor was brought, it was transported, exported to Bavel, and therefore there's another negicha, that negicha is judged as a negicha of a sharmuot. The fact the animal crosses the bounds into Bavel, the boundaries of Bavel, that doesn't remove from the shar the status of the shar as a sharmuot. The Gemara says, come on, that's a weird case. But milsel shchicha, we just established that milsel shchicha amrit lo avdin and shlichus sai, one of the conditions for shlichus, as we said before, that's very restrictive, the shlichus, is that it has to be a shchicha case. This is a very unusual case. So the Gemara now offers a slight variation of this answer, and that is the Asur Rabbanan Dehasam, the Adua Hacha. It was a case where the Dayanim from Eretz Yisrael, these Mumchim, were in Bavel. There was a lot of transportation, a lot of movement back and forth of the scholars of Eretz Yisrael, the scholars of Bavel. So we have these Mumchim from Eretz Yisrael on a trip to Bavel. And there was a testimony against the Shar in front of these Dayanim Mumchim in Bavel. And that, based on that testimony, the Dayanim of Eretz Yisrael, these Mumchim who were in Bavel, were able to establish the Shar as the Shar Muad. And you see clearly from this Gemara that the status of Dayanim Mumchim of Eretz Yisrael is not removed by the fact that they're located at this particular moment in Bavel. It's not the Mikum HaGavra that determines whether or not we have Dayan and Mumchim and Smuchim, but rather it depends on the Gavra himself. You know, if he received Smicha and he's in Eretz Yisrael, he can be found anywhere on the face of the earth. He can function as a Dayan Mumcha of Eretz Yisrael. Self Gemara rejects it. Milsa Dlo Shchicha Hi. This also is a very way out case. The Amrit Milsa Shchicha Lo Kavdin on Shlichus Sayhu. So let's now, and this is the bottom line of this whole sugya, let's reinterpret and understand the case of Rava. Ela ki ka'amar Rava, when Rava said, again back on page Dalet Amud Aleph in the bottom of the page, that we collect nizkei shar, if the shar was victimized and damaged, we collect that in Bavel, that's b'shein v'regel. Again, if we're talking about an attack of Negicha with Kavanos Lahazik, that's already Knas, that's already Lav Urch, it's Meshuna, it comes out of the Keren, and Keren Tam is not collectible in Bavel insofar as it's a Knas. But rather, we're talking about a case of Shein Varegel. What would be Shein Varegel? Let's say, for example, the animal is rubbing its back against to remove the itching and the fleas, and that's called, if it damages in such a case of nischacha b'kosel or nischacha b'shar, in this case that's lahana'a, so that's called shein. Or for example, let's say the shar pushes another shar as it's walking, that's called regel, that's not kavanos lahazik. In these cases, the muadu mitchilasa ninu. There's no din of tamus here. It's straight muadus, even on the first round, because it's anticipated. It comes with the shein v'regel. That's dini momonus. That's not knas, it's momon. And therefore, we could collect it in Bavel. That's where Rava established that we could collect, the dayanim of Bavel can collect nezikin, because the nezik was that of a shar, and we're talking about shein v'regel. However, if the nizak was an adam, that is a milsel of shchicha, and therefore, even though if it's kimle begavei, and even with regard to tzari, pushevus, and boshes as mama, nevertheless, we cannot collect it in Bavel. What we could allow for is tfisa, as we discussed earlier. At this point, the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah, and we're going to talk about the sugya of tzar shalo b'makom nezek. Tsar, the Mishnah says, what's the case of tsar? Kvo'o b'shipud o b'masmer, etc., etc. And even if the haka of the assailant was on the tziporen of the victim, and that's not a chabura, it doesn't change the physical, it doesn't remove the physical organ of the nizak of the victim. Nevertheless, the mazik, the chovil, has to pay tsar. And now the Gemara wants to evaluate and investigate this halacha that you could be chayev to pay tsar even in a case where there was no real chavola, no real chabura, and there's no tashlumei nezek. The Gemara says, Tzar shalo b'makom nezik mishtalim. The Mishnah is predicated on this principle that you can pay tzar even if there's no nezek. It means that we're talking about an act of chavola, so to speak, of hezek, where there was no physical permanent change in the nizak's body. For example, kvo al tziporno, and there's no chabura. And the Gemara now is going to ask, who is the Tana that holds that you pay tzar, even shalom b'makom nezek? Now again, if this kvo al basar, if he took a hot thing and he put it to his basar, and the kviya makes a roshem anikar, that might possibly be considered, a machayev of nezek, and he can collect for nezek, even if he doesn't go down in his value. And everybody might agree in that case that the mazik pays for tzar. The question that we have here is, does the mazik pay, the chovel pay for tzar, even in a case where there is no profound or physical change in the flesh and the body of the nechbal? Antana, who's the one who maintains that there is a chiv tzar, even shalom b'makom nezek? Omar Rava ben Azai, he, the Sanya, the Brisa records of Achlokas Shin Rebbe and Ben Azai regarding the case of the parish of Chovel. It says, Kviya tachas kviya, petza tachas petza, chabura tachas chabura. And the question is how to understand the relationship between these various phrases. What's Ikar and what's Tofel? What drags what? Rebbe Omer, Kviya Nemra B'tchila. The Torah mentions Kviya at the beginning. That's going to determine all the tashlumen here. Ben Azai Omer Chabura Nemra T'chila. What that means we'll see in a minute, because Chabura is actually last on the list in the verse in the Torah. But Maikom Mifugli, what is the Yisoda Machlok between Rebbe and Ben Azai? Rebbe Sober Kviya De Lesbe Chabura Mashma. The word Kviya indicates Tsar and only Tsar. There was no Nezek. There was no Chabura Mamish. And nevertheless, the Torah says, you have to pay. Kosav Rachmona, Chabura Tachas Chabura. In other words, we start with Chabura, because the Kviya is going to tell me what kind of Chabura you chayev for. When do you pay damages? In other words, when the Torah says Kviya Tachas Kviya, are we saying the Ispe Chabura in, but ilo, lo, if there's no chabur, not. So that depends. If you are like Rebbe says that kviya is going to be defined by chabura. In other words, we start with kviya, and then the chabura comes as an adjective to describe the kviya. What kviya are you chayev bo? It's the chiv. It's the chabura de kviya. It's the kviya de ispe chabura. But you cannot detach the chabura at the end of the pasuk from the kviya at the beginning of the pasuk. The chabura at the end of the pasuk is coming as an adjective describing and limiting the kviya at the beginning of the pasuk. Ben Azai Sover, no. Kviya, which appears at the beginning of the pasuk, is the ispe chabura mashma. The word kviya indicates that it was a serious, profound kviya, which created a chabura and cut into the flesh of the nechbal. And on that, the Torah says you pay tsar. And that's what we would have thought if we only had the word kviya. We need a kviya dispe chabura. Kos rachmona chabura legluyele de kviya lespe chabura. The Torah had to write out chabura so that we don't understand kviya as if it's the same as chabura. Had the Torah left out chabura, we'd have said kviya is kviya dispe chabura. From the fact that now the Torah separates it, and there's kviya lechud and chabura lechud, that's going to teach us that the kviya that you chayev for is pure, unadulterated kviya without an element of chabura. And even if there's no chabura, nevertheless you pay tashlumin of tsar for the kviya. And now we understand very well that the machlokas here in this brisa is about the kviya mentioned in the Torah. Is it a kviya and only a kviya? Is it a kviya sheyesh ba chabura? According to Rebbe, it's kviya sheyesh ba, it's kviya bilvad. It's pure, unadulterated kviya. The Torah therefore adds chabura to describe and limit kviya, that it's got to be a kviya sheyesh bo chabura. Ben Azai understands that the kviya at the beginning of the pasuk is with a chabura. The Torah therefore adds chabura to be magala, to reveal to us that the word kviya is a kviya she'ein bo chabura, and yichayef etzar shelo b'makom nezek. Rav Papa is going to reject this understanding of Rava in the Brisa and the Machlokus between Ben Azai and Rebbe. Askifle, Rav Papa, Adarabe Ibcha Mestabra, it's more logic to explain Machlokus in the opposite direction. Rebbe Omer Kviya Nemer Tchila Sover Kviya De Ispe Chabura Mash Bakos Rachmana Chabura Le Gluyele De Kviya De Lespe Chabura. Rebbe is the one who comes up with the opinion that Yechayev, even if there's no Chabura, Fatsar Shalom Makom Nezek. And that's because Rebbe starts with the word Kviya, and understands that kviya is ispe chabura. The Torah, by adding chabura, is telling you, no, kviya means without a chabura. And on the other hand, Ben Azai omer chabura nemra tchila, chabura comes first, meaning, savar, he's of the opinion that kviya, at the beginning of the pasuk, is lespe chabura mashma, and that's why the Torah says, kos rachmona chabura, to be magale, legaluye le de kviya, de ispe chabura. So again, Ben Azai starts with the assumption that kviya is less be chabura, but the chabura here in the pasuk is coming to teach you, no, that kviya for which yichayev is only a kviya disbe chabura in ilolo. And therefore, it comes out that Rebbe is of the opinion that yichayev etzar shel of mokum nezek, and Dafka Ben Azai requires a kviya de isbe chabura, which means an actual nezek. The amaskana kaimi. And according to this interpretation of Rav Papa, what was said here in this price of kviya nemer tchilo, chabura nemer tchilo, markedisli, that means, how do we understand kviya after chabura? According to Rebbe, we understand that chabura has come to teach you that kviya is something other than chabura. That's called, in Rebbe's language, kviya nemra tchilo, meaning even without chabura. Whereas Ben Azai says that after Chabura is mentioned, then that reveals that Kviya is a Kviya de Ispe Chabura, is therefore Chabura Nemra Tchila. So the Nemra Tchila really means which actually defines the Halacha and the Chiyuv Chavola. Inami. And now we, again, I'm assuming once again that this is Rav Papa offering an alternative interpretation of Rebbe Machlokas Rebbe and Ben Azai, and that is the Kuli Alma. Everybody agrees kviya bein de ispe chabura bein de lespe chabura mashma. The word kviya indicates that even if there's no chabura, v'hacha, what's the machlokas between Rebbe and Ben Azai? And we're turning to Pehei Amid Aleph. Beklal uprat miruchakim zemizekom ifugdi. The machlokas is about a parsha that has both a klal and a prat in the parsha, just that they're separated one from the other. Again, not a case where they're written in two different parshios. There, even Ben Azai is going to agree that it's not a klal uprat. But what if they're miruchakim zezeh? Is Rebbe sovar ein donin oso beklal uprat? U Ben Azai sovar donin oso beklal uprat? Rebbe's of the opinion that if the klal and the prat are separated in the psukim in that parasha, then we don't say that the prat that came after the klal is coming to explain the klal, but rather we darshan the klal separately and the prat separately. So here for kviya, which we assume at the beginning of the pasuk is a klal meaning it includes all kviyos, all kinds of damages to a person's body, and it doesn't matter whether there is a chabura, there's not a chabura. And the pasuk then says, petza tachas potza, which has nothing to do with this drasha, and only afterwards does the pasuk say, chabura tachas chabura, which is a prat, and that prat is limited to the case of hakosh yesh ima chabura, and only such a chabura, but that prat is not coming to tell us ein bechlal el mashiyesh beprat, but rather we leave the klal separately, and it incorporates and includes all kinds of kvios, all kinds of chavolos, even without a chabura, permanent damage to the body. But ben azay sovar don in oso beklal uprad. He's not bothered by the fact that the petza tachas petza wedges in between the kvia and the chabura, the kvia at the beginning and the as a klal, and the chabura at as a prat at the end. And therefore, he applies the principle of ein bechlal amasha beprat. And since chabura is a prat of yeshba chabura, therefore that reveals about kviya that yechayfor is only if yeshba chabura. V'chi tema, the Gemara says, and if you'll ask me, chabura le Rebbe, according to Rebbe Shita, that the word kviya at the beginning of the pasuk applies even if there's no chabura, is lamali, why did the Torah have to bother adding the word chabura at the end of the pasuk if it's not coming because it's meruchak, it's not coming as a prat to be megala on the klal that you need a chabura? So the Torah said kviya, which is a klal and includes all of them. Why then go ahead and confuse us and limit us by adding chabura? And the Gemara answers, l'damim yiserim. It's coming to teach us that even in a case of kviya, which means tsar, and it has with it chabura, in addition to the kviya, there also was a chabura, then the chovel has to pay even for the nezek of the chabura. In other words, if not for the fact that the Torah added the word chabura, we would have thought that the kviya teaches me that he pays for the tsar, and he pays for the tsar of the kviya whether or not there was a chabura or there wasn't. But he doesn't have to pay for the chabura itself in addition to the tsar. We wouldn't know that it's a chiv to pay nezek for the chabura together with the chiv to pay tsar. And for that we need the word chabura at the end of the pasuk. We'll stop here.